Stay tuned now on 1460 WVOX for The Ballot Box with your hosts Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin. The Ballot Box is a monthly program brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Now, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to The Ballot Box. I'm Tamar Tate and I'm joined by my co-host Nita Lubin. And we're coming to you on behalf of the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle, courtesy of WVOX 1460 AM and our talented sound engineer, Gerald Bell. So, Nina, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Tamar. We are back in the station, and it is absolutely great to be here. It's been 2 years. It's wonderful to see the faces and to see the place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, before we leap into today's show, we'd like to remind listeners that local school and library elections are going to be next week on Tuesday, May 17th. So in addition to voting on the proposed budgets for both the library and the school board, there are two seats that are currently open on the New Rochelle School Board and one seat currently open on the New Rochelle Library Board. So please mark your calendars and be sure to cast your vote. Remember, our vote is our power. It's how we make our voices heard, and it's how we shape our community. So, as many of you already know, the League of Women Voters is committed to protecting and empowering millions of voters each year to ensure that elections are fair, accessible, and representative. On today's show, Nina and I are going to discuss another organization just launched this past March that shares our commitment to constitutional democracy. Fordham Law School's newly established Voting Rights and Democracy Project is dedicated to training the next generation of voting rights lawyers. Here to tell us more about this new project is its director, Professor Jerry Goldfeder. Nina, can you please introduce us to Professor Goldfeder?
Happy to, Tamar. To introduce our next guest as an attorney simply does not do the job. Professor Jerry Goldfeder has, for over four decades, specialized in election law and voting rights. He has represented mayors, governors, unions, judges, the New York State Legislature, Congress members, and the President of the United States, to name a few of his clients. He is currently special counsel at the law firm of Strook and Strook and Levan, LLP. Professor Goldfeder has been on the faculty of Fordham Law School since 2003, and he is now the director of the law school's new Voting Rights and Democracy Project. Its mission is, I quote, to educate students in the law and practice of voting rights, ballot access, campaign finance, election administration, and democracy protection. Unquote. To Tamar and me, and no doubt to any member of the League of Women Voters, this mission resonates.
Hear, hear.
What also deeply resonates with us is that the Voting Rights and Democracy Project is, like the League, nonpartisan. We invited Professor Goldfeder to the Ballot Box to hear more about Fordham Law's Voting Rights and Democracy Project. Welcome to the show, Professor Goldfeder.
Well, thank you very much. It's terrific to be with you this morning. I congratulate the League of Women Voters for all the work that you do, not only in Westchester, but throughout the country, and have done for many years. So it's a real pleasure to be with you this morning.
Thank you, and thank you for your time. We know you are a busy, busy man. So I'm jumping right in. Tamar and I both attended law schools in the 1990s. Long time ago. We know that courses such as constitutional law and others that explain our electoral system have been around a long time. What makes Fordham Law's Voting Rights and Democracy Project different, and what prompted Fordham Law to create it?
So, first of all, when I went to law school, which was a little earlier than you did, there was no such thing as a course on election law. I would say primarily that the course of the course developed after the 2000 election, Bush v. Gore, and law schools started getting interested, or I should say students started pressing law schools to become interested in offering a course on the way we conduct elections and the laws relating to that. I started, as you mentioned, I started teaching election law at Fordham Law School in 2003, and I still do. And I taught at University of Pennsylvania Law School as well from 2009 to 2019. Now, most law schools, or I should, to be a little more accurate, many law schools that I'm aware of teach some variety of election law to their students. So we've been doing that. I've been doing that at Fordham for, as I say, for 20 years now. And especially after the 2016 election, students became much more interested than they had been on election law issues. And as a result, we created this Voting Rights and Democracy Project. Now, I should say that Fordham Law School, like many other law schools, of course, is dedicated to teaching our students about the importance of the rule of law in many different areas, whether it's trusts and estates, or antitrust, or constitutional law, or criminal defense law, or whatever it might be. Law schools are committed, as you know, and I'm sure your listeners know, law schools are committed to developing in students the ability to appreciate the nuances of the law and how to actually practice law. So to your question, we decided that it would be good to have within under one umbrella a number of courses that dealt with election law, constitutional law, voting rights, and generally speaking, what we call democracy-type issues under one umbrella in this Voting Rights and Democracy project. The main thrust of it is to prepare students to become voting rights lawyers if they so choose, or at the very least, to educate them as to the issues and involve them on the issues that are so important in 21st century America. And so it's as simple and as profound as that. Mm. Look, there's no question that our constitutional democracy is fraught, that there are real problems in the United States, that we are experiencing what we call democratic backsliding. And what we mean by that is that our democratic institutions are becoming more fragile. Our norms with regard to the way we conduct elections and the way we govern are becoming more problematic. We could lay this at the feet of the former president, and I say that in a nonpartisan way, but I think it would be more accurate to say that the former president and his followers and people who are not even associated with him share an anti-democratic impulse in this country that's been around for a long time, but has really come to the fore during the last 4 years, during the previous administration. The Associate Justice Louis Brandeis in the 1930s famously said that states are the laboratories of democracy. And what he meant by that is that, generally speaking, the United States was not a very progressive country in terms of expanding the rights of our people in a variety of ways, but certain states were attempting to do so. And since we have this Federalist system.
Let's return now to the ballot box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, the ballot box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back to the ballot box. I'm Tamar Tate, and my co-host Nina Lubin and I are speaking with Professor Jerry Goldfeder, who is the director of the law school's New Democracy and Voting Rights Project. Professor.
So I apologize for going right into the commercial. You know, we lawyers and professors, we like to talk a lot. So let me just finish the point that I want to
make.
And then we'll throw it back to you. What we have now is the opposite of what Justice Brandeis was talking about. We now have states that are laboratories of anti-democratic impulses, and states are passing laws restricting the rights of voting. States are passing laws that are criminalizing certain conduct by poll workers. States are passing laws to involve partisans as regulators of elections instead of just ordinary citizens, nonpartisan people. So we have a real problem in the United States of this democratic backsliding. That's really what prompted the Fordham Law School to focus in on this new voting rights and democracy project.
Professor Goldfeder, as an alumni of Fordham Law, I have to say I'm very proud that Fordham is going in this direction. And I'm curious as to whether this is something completely new in law schools, or are there other models at law schools around the country, or is this something you're building from the ground up?
Well, I think we are building it from the ground up. There are obviously programs, I shouldn't say obviously, there are programs in a number of other law schools that do focus in on voting rights in a variety of ways. At NYU Law School, there is, of course, the Brennan Center, but that's not student-oriented in the same way that we're trying to be, although obviously the Brennan Center makes a tremendous contribution. And there are schools in California, law schools in California, dotted throughout the country that are beginning to focus in on this in ways that they haven't before. So it's a welcome sign in the sense that students are much more interested in our democratic institutions and how to preserve them, and it's an unfortunate sign at the same time.
You noted that the mission is going to be to educate students in the law and practice of voting rights, ballot access, campaign finance, election administration, and democracy protection. I'm wondering if you could describe some specific objectives and how the project would hope to measure its achievements, that is, aside from student grades.
Well, first of all, we're in the process of beginning this project. So we are offering a number of courses that fit within this umbrella. I teach election law and the future of American democracy. We have courses on the legislative process. We have courses on civil litigation. There's a course coming up in the fall called Constitutional Democracy, courses on municipal and state government. So we tackle this in a variety of ways. We also bring in speakers and have panels. We had, before we actually formally launched, during the impeachment trials, we brought in Congressman Jerry Nadler, who happens to represent the Fordham Law School District, and he actually went to Fordham Law School. We've had Jamie Raskin. We've had panels, a variety of law professors from around the country dealing with these issues. We co-sponsor panels with the New York State Bar Association, for example, with other law schools to continue to focus in on the issues so students increasingly get a taste of what these issues are about, and if they so choose, are better equipped to actually become practitioners in the area, whether they work for a private law firm or they work for government, or they work for organizations not-for-profit organizations like yours or the NAACP Legal Defense Fund or the Latino Justice or, you know, organizations like that. It's hard to grade how we are doing. There's a quote that I remember from when I went to high school, if you can believe it, by Blake, that said, a teacher affects eternity. He doesn't know where his influence stops. We would recharacterize that to say he or she, but it struck me many, many years ago of the importance of what teachers do. In some respects, we only know that we have succeeded when we see our students develop and grow into terrific lawyers in whatever their fields are. And in a real sense, one really cannot calculate our influence and our success simply because students, just like we were when we were students, we take from our professors and from our classes and from our experiences all sorts of lessons that were intended or were not intended. Mm-hmm. We use them in a variety of ways. So I'm not so much interested in figuring out did we succeed or did we not succeed. We succeed by virtue of the fact that we have classes that deal with this issue, that we bring in public officials to talk to our students, that we have panels that raise the issues of the day relating to election restrictive voting rights and all sorts of other kinds of election issues. And we are also starting, I should have mentioned before, an online journal for students to be able to write about these kinds of issues that we're facing.
This is a huge undertaking and something, you're right, Tamar Fordham, you should be very proud of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go to our commercial break.
Yes, we are. And we will see you on the other, we will speak on the other side.
Let's return now to The Ballot Box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back to The Ballot Box. Nina and I, once again, are speaking with Professor Jerry Goldfeder, who's director of Fordham Law School's Democracy and Voting Rights Project. Professor Goldfeder, at the top of the hour, when Nina introduced you, she went through your extensive bio, which is very impressive. You have spent decades specializing in election law and voting rights. And I'm wondering, how does your extensive work in the field of election law specifically inform what you're trying to create for students?
Well, my work as an election lawyer is in part quite consistent with expanding voting rights. What I'm hoping to do, I suppose the better way of answering this question, is what I'm hoping to do is to create opportunities for our students to intern with public officials, to intern at various voting rights organizations, but also to intern with private practitioners who work on ballot access cases, campaign finance litigations, even prosecutions of allegedly corrupt elected officials. So there's a wide variety of experiences that a practitioner like myself has been involved in and continues to be involved in that I think would benefit the students if they were able to participate in some way experientially while they're a student.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on something you had mentioned before the break. You quickly mentioned that you were going to have an online journal, and I'm curious if that's something anyone can just tap into.
Ultimately, yes. We've created a website, but as I say, we're just developing. We just launched this semester, the end of this semester, this project, and so we will actually be working over the summer to start publishing the online, the Voting Rights and Democracy Project online journal, where we will have articles, short articles, some of them a little more academic than others, some of them a little more popular, if you will, for non-lawyers, mostly by students, but some professors, but also if members of the public would like to submit articles, that we will consider those as well. So we're trying to develop a robust online journal to facilitate a further discussion of the issues that we face on voting rights.
Okay, and I imagine Fordham Law School students are helping in all of the in some of the components of this endeavor.
Absolutely.
Are they creating with you?
I beg your pardon?
Are they creating with you?
Yes, that's exactly right. In fact, one of our students who was the key player in creating this online journal is actually a student of mine, a graduating law student, in a few weeks. He and I co-authored an article that appears in just today's New York Law Journal about what the courts have done in upending the New York elections year, with a little analysis about what the courts did and something called what we call the Purcell principle, which is a judge-created principle that says you really can't make changes, you really shouldn't make changes to election laws and rules and procedures close to an election. The Supreme Court of the United States has abused this principle. It's a good principle. We should not make last-minute changes. It confuses the voters and as well as election administrators when that's done. But the Supreme Court of the United States has, as I say, has abused it in so many instances by saying that the election is too close and therefore the unconstitutional laws or the unconstitutional redistricting lines and so on have to stay in place because we're too close to the election to change it. And the reason I say the Supreme Court of the United States has abused it is because there are two particular cases that just occurred, one in Alabama where the congressional lines were declared to be unconstitutional, and the election was not for months and months away, and the Supreme Court of the United States said, no, I'm sorry, you have to use these unconstitutional lines because it's too close to the election to change it. Well, of course, that's nonsense. They had time to change the lines based upon the ruling that the lines they had were unconstitutional. Some circuits have followed suit in that respect. What we face that here in New York, just presently, actually, the congressional lines and the state senate lines were declared unconstitutional. Now, I have a particular issue with that. I don't think the courts were right about that, but be that as it may, that's what the courts decided. So instead of ordering a special master to draw new lines in several weeks and moving the primary for Congress and state Senate to the end of August and having the statewide and assembly and judicial races and so on in June. I think that was a bad decision. What they should have done was, okay, these lines are unconstitutional. Redraw them immediately. Mm. We don't want the election to be changed. Mm. Everybody has submitted their petitions already. We're having a June 28th primary. Redraw the lines immediately for the June 28th primary. Instead, what the Court of Appeals did was, I think they missed the boat in the way they handled it. They said draw new lines. They gave them several weeks. Now we have two primaries. It's a ridiculous solution to a real problem. So that's a long way of saying that. So students are involved with us. This student and I just wrote this article about the election mess here in New York State. It was just published today. And we have a bunch of students who are working with us on developing this project. Because after all, it's focused on the students.
Right.
So students need to be involved in shaping the project, in shaping the online journal, in helping facilitate speakers and what kinds of classes we give, and so on.
Well, I am delighted to hear that students are involved. It's one thing I wish, I can imagine it happening as a former law student. Extremely exciting and an awful lot of work. Professor Goldfeder, glad to hear that you have published in the New York Law Journal today something. As the dust settles, Tamar and I both made notes to make sure to read it. What a saga this has been with redistricting. Getting back to the project, we read that the project does have an impressive advisory board that includes judges, academics, elected representatives. What do you see the role of the board being?
Well, thanks for asking that. We do have a very terrific group of as the advisory board. The presiding justice of the First Department, Rolando Acosta, is on it. Congressman Nadler and currently Congressman Swazi are on it because they were Fordham law graduates. So we asked them to participate. We have people from the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, from DEMOS, from the Latino Justice. We have some non-lawyers as well. We have a fellow named Michael Nieves who runs the HITN, which is a Hispanic focused telecommunications company. We have someone named Andrew Rache, who knows more about modern technology and democracy and the relationship between the two than anybody I know. And so we are attempting to get input from a variety of people. As a matter of fact, just the other day, one of our advisory members, who's a practitioner, civil rights lawyer named Andy Celli, came to speak to, I arranged as part of our project, he came to speak as on a Zoom, of course, to our students and faculty about the Marjorie Taylor Greene case. He had been representing the voters trying to disqualify Marjorie Taylor Greene from running for Congress, from running for re-election to Congress on the ground that it would be a violation of the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution because she swore an oath she swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, and yet she was involved in the insurrection on January 6th. So without taking any side on the issue, we invited Andy to come and speak to us about the issues and the procedures and so on. So practitioners are involved in our advisory board as well. And what I hope to do is to get as much input from them as possible because they're in the field. Most of them are lawyers, and they've gone through the process. Some of them who are not lawyers have very strong familiarity with our electoral process. So together, each and collectively have views as to how to do what we are trying to accomplish. And the more people involved with diverse backgrounds, the better we are at accomplishing what our goals are. And I think that that's important to do.
Absolutely. It sounds like a very well-representative board. Professor Goldfeder, it appears we have a caller who's interested in asking you a question.
I didn't know we had the line for it. Terrific. Okay.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the ballot box. Do you have a question for Professor Goldfeder?
Yes. Are you going to a break soon? I don't want to start and then have to start again. Or can I have time to speak now?
Well, we're about to go into a break.
Let me hold on then, if you don't mind.
Okay. Then we will be back with Professor Goldfeder after the break.
Let's return now to The Ballot Box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back to The Ballot Box. This is Nina, and we are with Professor Jerry Goldfeder, and a caller-listener line has unexpectedly opened up. I guess things have changed for us since the pandemic. We haven't been here. Caller, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. Could you let us know your name, where you're calling from, and then please proceed.
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Vince. I live in New Rochelle, and I'm a member of the New Rochelle League. And just a little housekeeping for the election you were talking about. There's one opening for library board, but there's only one candidate, so it's not much of a race. But for the school board, there are two spots and three people running. So I do hope people do come out. But I was disappointed that the league had to cancel the forum that was scheduled for the candidates, and it wasn't rescheduled. But there was a PTA forum for the candidates, and I helped arrange. It's supposed to be broadcast on the city cable system so voters can take a look at it. But you are right. We do need people to vote. Only 7% voter turnout is a disgrace. And I've often wondered, if we really want to expand voting, why our leaders don't support the idea of having school board elections for members in November. Maybe your guest would speak to that. There's no reason why we can't still have the budget vote in May if you have to. But it seems to me an intentional design to limit voter turnout by saying, well, you have to elect your board members in May with the budget vote. You don't have to. But that aside, the other thing I just wanted to bring up, the organization from Fordham about voting rights, I would just suggest you might want to add a name, Voting Right and Responsibility. Citizens don't see voting as a responsibility, and as our school board elections and others show. And with Memorial Day coming up, I always try to remind people that those of us who cannot vote, those of our society who gave their lives for our right to vote, the vote should be sacred and sacrosanct. People should always vote. But I do hope you would focus a little bit on voting integrity. By the way, last thought, and then I'll be quiet. Does your organization advocate for non-citizens' right to vote like New York City is doing?
So thank you very much for your questions and your comments. I think you hit the mark by reminding everybody how important the vote is. And there are literally thousands of Americans who've died to protect our rights and to protect democracy around the world. And it's always important to keep that in mind. I want to make a general comment about the way we hold elections in the state. It's not just for school board and special districts and whether it's a library district or a sewer district or something like that, but also the congressional elections, the state legislative elections are at different times than various county and city and district attorney elections. And in a way, it's been done that way on purpose, intentionally. If we were to hold, think of it this way, if we were to hold all our elections at the same time, there would be much less confusion, and there'd be much greater incentive for people to vote. So why don't we do that? Well, on some level, we don't do that in order to depress the vote, to deflate the vote. So, for example, I'll just give you an example that relates to New York City. It doesn't relate to Westchester. But years ago, it was determined that New York City mayoral race would be at a different time as the gubernatorial race and the United States Senate race and so on. And the reason is that when people come to the polls, sometimes there's a wave election, sometimes there's a lot of passion, and incumbents are not reelected. And if you keep the various elections at different times, the beneficiaries or the people who get hurt in these passion-filled elections will be limited to a particular jurisdiction. Well, that's not a great way of conducting elections, but that's essentially the way incumbents protect themselves by spreading out elections. So
that's I agree with you. What about the idea of non-citizens voting?
I'm sorry. I just really wanted to say that that's the kind of reform that the League ought to be involved in, which is to consolidate all our elections, our primary elections, our general elections, at the same time, because that would increase turnout.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear you say that. And what about expanding the idea of non-citizen voting, say, in school board elections or, as in New York City, in municipal elections?
Well, New York City did have school board elections where non-citizens who had children in school were able to vote. Now, we don't have school board elections in that same way any longer, but we did have that. And there are various jurisdictions around the country, local jurisdictions, where non-citizens vote. And now in New York City, we have a new law that says non-citizens can vote, certain non-citizens can vote in municipal elections. The Fordham Law School Voting Rights and Democracy Project doesn't take a particular view on that. And I should say that I'm representing the New York City Board of Elections as a defendant in that lawsuit, as it is, because there's a lawsuit challenging that law, so I don't really want to comment on the.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Okay, Vince, thanks so much for calling. We appreciate that you're listening to the Ballot Box, Professor Goldfeder. It seems like there will be a lot of interest from different people in different communities in this new project. I'm wondering if there's going to be room for individuals who are not Fordham Law School students in this project, like volunteers, for instance, who are attorneys or paralegals or just engaged citizens, and also if lawyers will be able to ask for interns from the project.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping that over the summer we'll be able to develop an online presence so that people in the legal community, as well as non-lawyers, can reach out to us and become involved. We would welcome that. That would be terrific. Anything that helps us, any ideas, any involvement by people that could help us shape this project so that more and more law students understand, appreciate the importance of voting rights and democracy issues in our country, is certainly welcome. And I appreciate very much your giving me the opportunity today to talk about this project, because voting rights and democracy issues are so much on the mind of your members and so many other activists, people who listen to your program. And it's it's not a problem that's going away. It's a series of problems that's only being exacerbated, and we will see more and more of that as the partisan 2022 elections and 2024 elections start to heat up.
Well, it's been our pleasure having you. So thanks to our guest, Professor Jerry Goldfeder, Director of Fordham Law School's Voting Rights and Democracy Project. Nina and I and the League of Women Voters are really looking forward to hearing more about this project.
And we congratulate you and the entire Fordham team on this enormous effort, which seems to be already bearing fruit. Tamar and I have visited online at some of the Fordham virtual events for attorneys and for students, and they have been very enlightening.
Absolutely. So thank you.
And thank you again for all the work that you do.
Our pleasure. And we look forward to maybe another go around on the ballot box. And thank you for joining us this time around. Join us for our June ballot box, which will air on Wednesday, June 22nd at 9 a.m. here on WVOX 1460 a.m. And we hope all our listeners have a great day.
Bye-bye, everyone.